This is a topic of conversation on my heart because I have found that within our community and with just certain clients, that the idea of expressing emotions or feelings or problems is really scary. It's dismissed a lot, and inadvertently, people are teaching their children, as they've been taught themselves, that.
Welcome, everyone, to Renew Your Mind. With us today, we have Senior Pastor Paul Gruenberg, and we have Youth and Family Director and Contemporary Music Leader Jordan Kettlewell. We have retired Pastor Barry Sweet. We have Pastor Jeremy Tarrou, and we have a special guest again, Jesse Thompson, and myself, Dana Hall, is the moderator. So we're going to jump right in. We're still kind of on the mental health topic, and we asked Jesse for some things to talk about, and what she suggested to us was one titled Open Your Eyes, and we're going to do a part one and a part two. And just to kind of cue it up, one of the bullet points was so many of us think we have no issues, and we tend to ignore problems that we have, but it doesn't mean it's not there. So that's kind of what was queued up. So Jesse, can you kind of introduce yourself again and kind of take that and run with it?
Yes, thank you, Dana. Okay. Yep. My name's Jesse. I am a licensed counselor. I own a private practice, and I actually have an office inside of the church at the Methodist Church. And so this is a topic of conversation on my heart because I have found that within our community and with just certain clients, that the idea of expressing emotions or feelings or problems is really scary. It's dismissed a lot, and inadvertently, people are teaching their children, as they've been taught themselves, that having feelings is almost unholy. And it means that we don't, something that we've addressed earlier, we just don't have enough faith, or we are weak. So it's something that we're taught to suppress early in life. And
yeah, just get over it.
Yeah, just get over it. Suck it up, buttercup, you know, fake it till you make it.
Oh, that sounds like Jordan.
Yeah. But when we...
That is so accurate.
But when we say those things, especially to our kids, what we are saying is your problems don't matter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're setting them up for failure or a real struggle internally.
Yes.
In the long run.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of us have been taught that way, or you just keep everything buttoned in so you don't.
Well, think in terms of, and maybe this is too stereotypical, but for the girls, they're raised to be nurtured, or they're nurtured to talk and to share their feelings and, you know, do those kinds of things. And boys are just, you know, be tough, mm-hmm. you know, man up, you know, those kinds of things. And I think that just sets us up for failure. I mm-hmm. really do. Mm-hmm. Because then when we want to express, that voice in the back of our head says, just suck it up, Paul, you know, mm-hmm. type of thing.
You know, and I think that actually is a bigger problem than even just talking about being open. Because, you know, Dana, you make a joke, but that's true. I mean, that's how I am. And I've tried to grow over the years and get better with that. But I've always encouraged with my boys, like, to be open about their feelings, to talk to me about how they were feeling, to talk to somebody about how they're feeling. Like, don't, you know, cram that down and put the lid on as tight as you can. But kids learn, and it's not just kids. I mean, people around us, we all learn from each other, from the example that we set for who we are. And mm-hmm. we learn environmentally. And so while I've tried to foster that and teach my kids that, I haven't always presented it myself because I always try to go like, well, it's not that big of a deal. Whatever my issue is, it's all right. It's fine. It's no big deal. I've got a coffee mug at home, and on the coffee mug, it says, it's fine. I'm fine. Everything's fine.
Like, sorry. You know, you could have brought it today.
Yeah, really. And, And that's how I am so often, because I just like whatever, you know, whatever thing is bothering me, like that's not the focus. Let's focus on whatever else is, you know, let's focus on something more important. We don't need to focus on what's going on with me, but that sets that example, which teaches way more intensely than just trying to say, hey, be open about your feelings.
Mm-hmm. I think sometimes too is we bury that stuff so we can function, even though we're not functioning.
Right.
You know, we bury it so we can get through our day and so we can do what we have to do. I did that in my cancer journey all the time. Mm-hmm. When you have to be up in front and preach and you feel like crap, you cover it, you know. And there were a few people that knew, but the vast majority of people had no clue.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you ignore the problem just so you can get through your day.
Yeah.
But ultimately that doesn't work.
Correct.
Because it finds you ultimately.
Yeah, in the clinical setting, we call this dissociating, where we can mentally tune out of what's going on inside of us so that we can get through our day. It's a system that God designed for us so that we can face really horrific events or stressful events, but it's not intended long-term.
Mm-hmm.
We're intended to come back around and really process what's going on inside of us. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, our brains will learn that this is our go-to move when things get tough. And then that becomes who we are. That becomes our identity, is this compartmentalized.
And then we can't climb out of it.
Correct.
Yeah. But you're saying you're seeing it more and more?
Tell us why.
I think, honestly, I think it's because I've been doing Christian counseling this last year more than I had ever done. I was working more with secular organizations in the past. And there's this really interesting, this leads into another topic of conversation, where the secular world really appears to have a grip on mental health. And I'm not saying they know everything. There's a lot of damage that's being done. But they acknowledge it, and they talk a lot about expressing our emotions and feelings to a whole other extreme. But they don't have the answer. They don't have the root healer. They don't have Christ. Whereas Christianity has the root healer, but we're dismissing all of the issues that he can truly heal. And so it's this interesting dynamic that I've been noticing and just wanting to be able, how do we bridge this?
Mm-hmm.
But with Christian counseling and Christian circles, it is everything that we've been talking about. It's just I have to push this so that I put on this face so that it looks like I am faithful.
It's the mask.
It's the mask.
Right. Because if you're not portraying all of the fruits, right? If your life isn't 100% love, joy, peace, patience, all of them, then there must be something wrong with you as a Christian.
Or your faith isn't deep enough or good enough.
Your faith isn't good enough.
Well, I've got Jesus.
What's wrong with you?
Yes.
You know, if that's the case, well, we know the root of brokenness is sin. So if you've got some brokenness, then, well, you must be just filled up with sin.
Well, it's the question they asked about the guy with the withered hand. Who caused that? Was it his sin or his parents' sin? And it always goes back to, what did you do wrong to cause the problem that you're having now?
And that's the question sometimes why we ask, why me? Is because, or what did I do to deserve this? And that's that same root. And the Christians are, I think, terrible in lots of ways. We put this front up that I'm holy and I've got it all together when we're falling apart. And we won't acknowledge it. And the church should be a place for healing, for people who are broken so they can find healing. But often it's just the opposite.
And I think for Christians, those who have a Christian worldview, to think about that God has feelings and emotions, right? And we are created in God's image. So we have feelings and emotions. We are meant to. So in the context of ignoring them or burying them and thinking that's not right or that's not holy, though, that's part of God's image in us. Now, we, because of sin, we're not, our souls are messed up in a way, they're not ordered properly. But the work Christ is doing in us is to reorder our souls so that our feelings and emotions are are becoming like his, are becoming whole. But none of that has to do with burying them or ignoring them.
Right.
It's really right. God's reordering them so that we're reflecting him.
Yeah.
And you see it all throughout, well, you see it all throughout scripture, but especially you see it all throughout the New Testament. You know, Christ is saying the exact opposite, not to bury it. We're supposed to confront that stuff. I mean, he speaks on it constantly. We're supposed to confront these things for the renewing of our mind. We're supposed to confront these things and tackle them, not just, oh, I know Jesus, so I guess I can just cram that down.
Yeah.
Right, and Jesus did.
I'm just fine.
Yeah, I'm fine. When we're not. Everything's fine. Mm-hmm.
But right. That's why we've got Jesse. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Jesse. That's why we've got the Jesses in the world.
Amen.
People who God has gifted to be able to patiently listen and understand and create that environment in a way that people feel safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The church isn't always a safe place, and that's an unfortunate problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are some ways like that we can help people, I guess, unbury their feelings, or how would you do it first as a counselor?
Well, I think it's important to talk first that not everybody needs a counselor. So not every problem requires clinical help, that God designed relationships for us to heal. Mm-hmm. And if we can first surrender the mask to him, just giving it all over to him, and then be vulnerable in community, this is where this begins. And so this is why small groups are so important. Mm-hmm. That a author and my coach, her name's Tara Mattson, had said that honesty breeds wholeness. And that's really what small groups do for us. We're holding each other accountable. We're able to be vulnerable with one another without judgment, without condemnation, and without saying you're not the Job's friends of the world, like just being miserable comforters, but we're all taking it off and being vulnerable with one another. And then this shows safety. And then the next person's like, oh, well, then I can be vulnerable here. There is healing and power in all of that right there. We see that a lot in just people who have community and have friendships and have strong relationships. They don't need clinical counseling. Mm-hmm. But if that doesn't exist or they don't feel safe to come forward, then in counseling, it's very much just education on what types of issues that we see and what holding emotions and feelings and problems in can do to us physically, spiritually, mentally, and laying it out on the table and also saying you're not the only one. So you're not the only one who struggles with this. So just validating and empathizing.
Yeah, that's 1 Corinthians 10:13. And it freed me with what you're talking about. So scripture addresses that. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man.
Mm-hmm.
And once I understood that, that really sets a person free to understand that you're not the only one suffering this. In other words, the spotlight isn't just on you as the only one who picks their nose. And so all of a sudden, it's a shared temptation. And with that, there's just a, I like to think of it in terms of Satan wants to isolate us on our own island and make us feel like we're the only one. And when we feel that way, there's no hope for me.
Mm-hmm.
There's no hope for being a part of a community. I could never share that. You know, those kinds of thoughts that are more, I'll say it, satanic. Those thoughts that are to lower us, to separate us, to cause us to feel like there's no hope. And that, I mean, I love the small groups because those were the places where that kind of deeper sharing needs to take place.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the small groups too, but couldn't you also find a close friend?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. That you could be just as, and what if I don't want to be vulnerable? What would you say to that person?
Suffer.
Well, yeah. That's where I usually lay the consequences out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like this impacts your, so there's this chapter in this book I brought. It's called Embracing Holy Crap. And it's because
it sounds like Jordan.
It's appropriate because
a roast? Why would
yeah,
a roast
yeah.
Today?
Well, sorry. If you let problems sit unattended, it doesn't go. It's like having poop. There's this pile of poop sitting out here. Like a kid is. She actually used this example in the classroom. A child had pooped on the floor and it was just playing over here, and the teacher came over and was like, you know, could smell it, and it was bothering everybody at that point. So the whole analogy here was like, if you don't deal with your own stuff, if you don't take care of that, you're going to affect others. You're going to hurt others in the process. Mm-hmm. So if we are just internally dealing with stuff but not processing things, it's going to seep out into all of our relationships. Yes. It's going to cause problems for everyone. And nobody really, the majority of people really don't want to hurt others. Mm-hmm. And so that's usually a really good buy-in for people to start shedding the layers.
So I remember going through this long time ago now, but it was, I should be able to take everything I'm thinking to Jesus. I should be able to take everything to God and allow the Spirit to minister to me, to help me through it. And one of the aspects of that, though, is I believe God has given us each other as gifts, right? Mm-hmm. So we put on the, we are the hands and feet of Christ for each other as well.
Correct.
But I still think you should be able to go to God with everything. But, you know.
Well, you can do both. Yeah. He works through both ways.
I think sometimes have to do both. And that's why God gifted you with the gifts you have so that you can help other people. And people are going to need that at times. And, you know, that's how God is working. You take it to God and God sends Jesse. You know, or people like Jesse or a friend or someone that can speak into their situation.
Yeah.
That may be how God's answering that.
Okay. So if I'm just vulnerable, I'm going to be all right.
No.
I love your questions. They're great.
Yeah,
I
don't know.
Kind of devil's advocate over here.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, they're trying to be like Jordan.
Yeah.
They are good. Well, the question, if you're ending up in a counseling room, if that's what you're asking, like, then how do I be vulnerable? Like, what led you there? So those would be the questions I would be asking. Okay, why are you here? What led you here? What are you hoping to accomplish by being here? So
you're going to get really hard.
Yeah.
Then.
Well, matching your goals with what you got to do to get there. And a good way to show, like, just we as a society suck at grieving. We suck at it. We don't have a cultural norm, a process to do it. We bypass it. We fast food charge everything. And this is why being vulnerable is hard, because we're taught to just, you got to rush through it. We got to get through it. The bereavement.
That's a really good point.
Yes. The bereavement leave in the United States for a loss of a child is 3 days. I mean, 3 days.
That's insane.
It's insane. We are
and
being,
it's lumped in with every other relative that's allowed to take a 3-day bereavement.
You know, it's funny. We look at like ancient cultures.
Never
and
thought
always,
of that. Yeah.
Their grieving processes always seem so bizarre and like fictional and
extended.
And extended and like and mandatory. And it's not just, you know, Old Testament like the Jewish traditions for grieving. But, I mean, most ancient cultures had some sort of a grieving ritual, and most of the ancient cultures had to do with, like, wearing sackcloth or burlap or just, like—
For days and days.
Days and days, having food. You can't shave, you can't cut your hair. And there's this period of time where you're supposed to be in mourning. And we look at that and be like, oh, that's weird. You know, that just seems bizarre. Don't they have a job to go to? Because we've abandoned all of it. But those are healthy practices.
Yeah. So Jesse, what do you see in today's culture? We're so driven by speed and internet knowledge immediately and social media.
Productivity.
That has to be the enemy of taking time to grieve and to be vulnerable and to process.
Taking care of yourself.
Because it's like, I must move on to the next thing. Do you see that that's got to be the enemy of a lot of healing that needs to take mm-hmm. place, I would think.
It steals our relationships. Mm. I mean, it is so heartbreaking to see your kids go to birthday parties or sleepovers and then come back to tell you that all their friends did was be on their phone the whole time mm-hmm. and that they weren't able to engage with them at all. And we're seeing this really young, like 9, 10, 11, 12. And it's stealing our ability to be able to connect to one another, mm-hmm. which makes it hard to be vulnerable.
Yes.
Now it's scary. And now someone's in your face, eye to eye contact.
And how do you have a relationship as an adult after that?
Right.
Yeah.
And adults
are
guilty of
this. So it's going
to get worse. Oh, no question.
We see this. Yeah,
it's going to get a lot worse.
It's going to get worse. And so our call is to slow down.
Yes.
To slow down and to make intentional efforts to look into the eyes of our kids every day. And to be checking in with them every single day so that they are different, that they are set apart, that these are sacred and holy relationships. Because like I said on our very first podcast, relationships is the answer to everything. Yeah. With God.
Well, no, Jesus is the answer.
Yes. Yeah. Well, relationship with him.
No.
And then to model that to everywhere else. But something else I thought was really interesting was this parallel to the grieving process. To go back a little bit was even just Easter, like what we just went through was there was Good Friday and that was the horrific event. And then Saturday was the mourning, which we had to go through. We had to mourn it. We had to be devastated. We were grieving to get the resurrection on Sunday.
So yes.
That Jesus's death on the cross was so beautiful and so painful and shows so many things to us. Mm-hmm. But in it all, too, is how to process your feelings and your emotions. So I just thought that was really mind-blowing. Like, when you start to wrap it all together, we have to go through the storms and the growth of life to come out the other end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's never any promise that we wouldn't.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's wrap this podcast up right there, and then we'll come back and we'll continue this conversation. So thank you everyone for joining us. I feel like my mic is dropping. So thank you everyone. We really appreciate you joining us to listen. We come to you from the Gaylord Methodist Church, and we'd love to have you join us on Sundays in person. We have a service at 9 a.m. and a contemporary service at 10:45 a.m. If you can't make it in person, we have a live Facebook, and we also have YouTube. You can view the service. We also have a Wednesday night service every second and fourth Wednesday at 7:15 p.m. We'd love to have you join us as well.
And we have an Awakening Weekend coming up.
Yes, we have an Awakening Weekend coming up. That will be May the 3rd through the 5th, and we're still encouraging people to register. We already have probably about half of our seats filled, and so there's, I want to say, don't wait too long or else there might not be room.
Call the church or
go
online
the church.
To the
It's
going to
be a great weekend. You can come either Friday or Saturday. Free lunch, really good lunch too, and we just love to have you join us. So thank you, everybody, and we'll see you next podcast.